Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, open His eternal Word and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. We're looking in the Word of God for answers to people who have problems with doubting their salvation. I'm aware of the fact that there are those who would say that if you ever doubt, then you're not saved. But I want to go on record to say I do not believe that. It may be true in their experience, but it cannot be backed up by the Word of God, and it cannot be backed up by history of Christians. You study history, and it's a known fact that many great Christians had great battles at times with doubt. And the devil knows that if he can keep you doubting your salvation, then you will never accomplish anything in helping others in the work of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, said to them, "Examine yourselves." And that's what we're to do in the light of the Word of God. And again, I say to you, a salvation that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And if there's going to ever be any question mark on your salvation, it ought to be so in this life, because it will be too late for you to question whether you're saved or not after you leave this walk of life. So what we're doing is not really trying to raise a question mark about your salvation. As I said earlier, there's a lot of preaching that raises questions and not much preaching that gives answers. But by the help of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, I want to help you find the answer to solve the problem that you have with doubts about your salvation. I pointed out to you on Monday, there are three things that people put their confidence and trust in. Number one, there are those who trust their feelings. But I said to you, feelings fluctuate. If you base your Christianity upon how you feel, then you probably will feel lost more than you feel saved. And if you base your Christianity upon feelings, you will never be a stable Christian, because feelings fluctuate. Then number two, there are those who trust what their friends say about their Christianity. But I want to tell you, friend, nobody knows about your salvation but you and the Lord. Anytime that you go through a spiritual battle, you ask your friends what they think, and some of them would question whether you're really saved or not if this is happening to you. But I want to tell you something. Feelings fluctuate. Friends fail. But there is something that you can trust, and that is the facts of the Word of God. You see, as feelings fluctuate, friends fail, facts are final. They are fixed forever. And so what we must come to do is base our hope of heaven not upon our feelings, not upon what our friends think or say about us, but what the Word of God says. And we're looking at the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to establish truth in our heart that we might know we are saved. I pointed out to you on yesterday, in the book of 1 John, John lays a key to the front door in chapter number 1 and verse number 4. And he said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And then as he finishes the book in chapter number 5, verse number 13, it is as though he lays a key at the back door. And he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. So this book was written that we might know we're saved. And by knowing we're saved, then our joy would be complete. God is speaking to us through the Apostle John, giving us words of understanding what it means to be saved. And as we see these truths wrought in our life by the grace of God, then we can stand assured of our salvation. I said to you as we were leaving the air on yesterday, there are seven truths taught in the book of 1 John that are great indicators of whether a person is saved or not. In the book of 1 John chapter number 2, and I want us to read from verse number 3 down through verse number 6. The Bible said, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Here we have the first portion of Scripture that gives us some understanding from the Word of God that we may check out our own salvation and see what God says to us in the Word of God. If you have a question mark, here is the first thing that the Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now listen to me carefully. There never has been but one person who lived on planet Earth that kept all the commandments of the Word of God. And that was God himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not perfect, and we cannot keep them. If righteousness could be attained by the law, then Christ died in vain. But at the same time, when you are saved by the grace of God, God puts his Holy Spirit inside you, and the Holy Spirit living inside you puts in you a desire, a want to obey the teaching of the Word of God. In fact, in verse number 4, he said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Then verse number 5 said, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Now, as we begin our examination, we're looking for assurance that we're saved by the grace of God. I need to ask myself, in my heart, do I desire and do I strive to keep the teachings of the Word of God? If I do not have a desire to keep God's Word, and I do not strive to live by the Bible, then I have room for serious doubts about my salvation. But if I can honestly look God in the face and say to myself, I do love the Word of God, and I do strive to live by the Word of God, then you pass question number 1. Can you say that? Can you say in your heart, I strive to keep the commandments of the Word of God? God said, if you don't do it, and you say you love him, then you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. But if you can honestly say, yes, preacher, I desire and I strive to keep the teaching of the Word of God, then that's one good indicator. Let's move on to chapter number 3, verse number 7, down through verse number 9. Hear the Word of God said, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, as we study these verses, there may be some confusion here in some people's mind, but let's analyze them in the light of the Word of God. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches us that we are to live above sin. What I mean by that is, no one has ever reached sinless perfection while living in this body of flesh. No, the Bible's very plain. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that is not an excuse to sin. That is not a license to sin. That is simply facing the truth that we are a sinner by nature, and that old Adamic nature is still alive and still rises up in us and wants us to commit sin. But as we study this chapter in the Word of God, we find here that the Bible speaks of habitual sin, or a continuous sinful lifestyle. The Bible said again, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But he that habitually commits sin, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, God comes into our life to give us victory over sin. And we do not have to sin if we're saved by the grace of God. And we do not willfully live a life of practicing sin if we're saved by the grace of God. You say, why, preacher? Well, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. They do not live in continual sin. They do not live a habitual sinning lifestyle. Why? Because the Bible said, for his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. If you are saved by the grace of God, you cannot sin willfully and get by with it. And you cannot continually live a lifestyle of sin and get away with it. We learn from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, that if we're saved, God chastens every son whom he receives. And then the Word of God teaches us that if you profess you're a child of God and you do not receive chastisement, then the Word of God said you're a bastard and not a son. God is very plain in that. And I do not use that word lightly. That is the word that the Bible uses. So the Bible teaches us, first of all, that we can have assurance of our salvation and we can conquer our doubts when we examine our relationship to the commandments. Do we love his commandments? Do we desire to keep his commandments? Do we strive to keep his commandments? Then number two, we can answer that question by looking at how we feel about willful sin and habitual sin. God gives us these instructions for self-examination. And I pray we'll look at ourselves in the light of the Word of God. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the Word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study his word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.